church family. Oh, so good to just be here. I was a little worried about that snow thing that they kept calling for, and I was just like, not today, Jesus. Not going to happen. So it's just so good to see everybody here, and definitely want to just say thank you again for all the support with the missions and with this, especially the local missions. It's been near and dear to my heart for Washington County and just praying over Washington, just getting into the communities and really wanting to make an impact in God's kingdom. And with that, this little thing called Neighbor to Neighbor started about 4 years ago. And it was just amazing how God truly worked with the folks that are really the volunteers that have been pouring their heart out into it. I just, with you guys, with everything that you've been helping with even sowing into the kingdom through prayer, it's just been an amazing journey. And we have Bill Burns, who's going to be coming up and talking about Neighbor to Neighbor with his lovely wife, Amy. And his Grammys is here, too. She's always here. Love to have you here. but again, it's just one of those things where Neighbor to Neighbor has just been a phenomenon, I think. I call it phenomenon because God has really been taking this to even larger expectations. And I just wanted Bill to come up to really start sharing about. So come on up, Bill. Again, with Neighbor to Neighbor, this is going to be its fourth year. And before I forget, Neighbor to Neighbor is actually helping with a laundromat ministry again. And this time it's going to be on Sunday the 30th. So it's going to be immediately after services. We're going to hit some of the normal locations that we usually hit for the laundromat ministry. And that's going to be, again, the 30th from 1 to 4. Okay, from 1 to 4. So without further ado, just wanted to send it over to Bill Burns, and he's going to share a lot more about Neighbor to Neighbor.
If you're wondering, yeah, I'm one of those Burnses. A lot of folks are from me. I'm one of the crew. First and foremost, I'm gonna stay on script here a little bit this morning, just because I think there's some important things I need to make sure that I say. And the first off and foremost, I want to thank Pastor Rob and Jackie for allowing me a chance to stand here this morning and share a little bit about the heart and the vision and the ministry that Neighbor to Neighbor has been, again, blessed and be able to become. You guys have been a part of this actually from the beginning. I remember Jackie walking around at our Christmas event uptown, smiling. If you haven't seen that infectious smile somewhere along the line, you know, you're missing it. And Pastor Rob being out under the bridge with us and obviously the support from the church. So from my heart, I want to say thank you to both of you being along this ride with us this morning. And you as a congregation, what I'd like to ask you this morning, if you have participated or volunteered or donated or been a part of a Neighbor to Neighbor event, shared it with somebody, I'm going to ask you this morning, could you raise your hand? I want you all to look around. If you don't think CCNA is involved with Neighbor to Neighbor, I'm going to ask you all to check yourselves again. You guys are so important. And it comes back from your faithfulness and your friendship, not just to your church, your friends, your family, to the ministry, but also to the Lord. So I want to say thank you as a body for your support, your friendship, and your love. And it's so important. I want to thank my friend Renee. You know what? She does a lot behind the scenes, and I'm sure it's probably the same way here. But the Lord says to give honor where honor is due. And I want to thank you this morning and honor you this morning for being a good friend to myself, to the ministry, to Amy and I, and you and Eileen, some other, we couldn't have started this or got this going without you and your faithfulness again to the Lord. So I want to thank you and say thank you this morning. So with that said, I always want to thank my wife. I know better. So Miss Amy, she's standing out there. Raise your hand, babe. She loves to be the center of attention for those of you that don't know her. No, actually, she'd rather actually be out listening in the car if I knew her well enough. Probably shopping on her phone. That's a different story. But, and this morning, I wanted to make something very clear. A lot of you have claimed my grandmother as your grandmother. Her name is Garnet, and she sits right there. I just want to let you all know that she's my grandma, too. Now, and I'm going to share something with you this morning. You know, this has been an amazing season of just prayer and fasting, and hopefully going into the new year, you always wonder what's next. You know, and that's always what I get excited about. And boy, I want to share something with you this morning. We're not going to get there yet, but I had a tremendous revelation this morning that I'm excited to share with you guys. But I want you to know, Pastor Rob, you know, how many of you know Mike Singo? Any of you heard of that fella? Yeah, he's a wily character. He is. But I know he's good friends with Pastor Rob and Jackie, but he's also my pastor and one of my best friends. So you come very highly recommended to me. I got my grandma and one of my best buddies pushing you along all the way. So you guys are etched into my heart, no matter how this is sliced or diced. But I want you guys to know the same grandma that prayed for me and loved me loves you and prays for you the same way. And that's so important because I wouldn't be standing here this morning if it wasn't for her prayer. And I know that. Matter of fact, I know that beyond the shadow of a doubt, and God just totally reinforced that with me today in a certain way, and I'll share it with you. But I wanted to come up this morning, again, take this time to share with you a little bit about Neighbor to Neighbor. A lot of you obviously have heard about the ministry and what it does. In just a couple of hands, to put it into perspective, it's hard to do because this is God's ministry. You know, we got to the point where we've been blessed and so many things have happened so quickly and we kind of had to organize it and put a name to it and then it's neighbor to neighbor. Lord, the Bible says these two commands, the greatest. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as what? One more time. So it just makes perfect sense. Our part in that is to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So that was the easy way to do it. We've had a lot of people, if you've been in the volunteer world, you know, there's an ebb and flow to it. People come, people go, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's different ministries, there's different callings, there's different things in life. But to have that presence, that's the most important thing that we've come to learn. So to put it into perspective for you, as Renee shared, we actually started this in 2018 formally. I had been sharing and ministering with a group called the Pittsburgh Dream Center since 2018. I got involved with homeless ministry up there in the city of Pittsburgh for a long time. So I invited some friends along, and they come along, and they challenged me and said, well, why aren't we doing this at home? And as you guys are probably aware, neighbor to neighbor, the homeless ministry and outreach in Pittsburgh, the needs in Pittsburgh are way different than what you find in Washington County, if you can imagine. And our city mission here actually does a great job. So we decided, how are we going to reach people here like we could in Pittsburgh? So what happened, we actually started going into the Washington County subsidized housing properties and finding people. Jesus said to go. He said to go. So we go. And what happened, we started with one little coat drive. It didn't even have a name yet, but we had a coat drive back in 2016 where we went into Belvedere Acres over on the side of Washington. And we actually, it was amazing. We come walking in, and it's funny. At that point, you guys, I have a little bit of facial hair. Amy says if I don't have facial hair, I look like a piece of bologna. So I have to change my hair. But I had this big full beard, right? So I go into Belvedere Acres, and the truth of the matter is I actually grew up there. So for me in my life, that place has gone full circle. So I thought of all the things I've seen, all the things I know about the way in the world, I said, we'll just go back to where we started. So I come barreling in there, you know, I'm not a little guy, and I come walking in, and I got this big full ZZ Top beard, right? And the two ladies that are working in the office, they're used to when somebody comes walking in, it's usually not a good thing, especially if you don't live there. And they're like, what did they do? And I'm like, no, they didn't do anything. Don't hold on. I shared with them my heart a little bit, and I said, you know what? I actually grew up here. And I said, God's really blessed us, and we'd like an opportunity to come back and serve and love the families that are here at Belvedere Acres. So we had our first little coat drive. It turned into an Easter egg hunt. So these things were starting to already roll. And then beyond that, since that point, it's grown to a certain point. Now, I don't like to quantify things. To me, success in ministry isn't, as you guys know, it isn't how big our church is. It isn't how much money we spend on this. It isn't about those specific things. It's about doing the Lord's will and His work. So, but if you want to sit back and say, it's good to reflect. It's good to know that you're stewarding well, you know, to sit back and do those things. So if we had to put numbers on it, I just want to share with you, we actually incorporated as a nonprofit organization this past year in the month of June. And with that said, in this past year, through the Neighbor to Neighbor ministry, we have been able to serve over 5,000 meals in the last 12 months in Washington County. Amen? They're hot meals. I have this little group of retired ladies. They would die before they put a frozen piece of food on a table. So it's all homemade. It's all fresh. We go into the communities once. I'll share a little bit more about the ministry, but we've been able to deliver 5,000 meals this past year, starting with the coat drives. Again, God gets all the glory for it, and by His grace, we were able to distribute in Washington, Allegheny, Beaver, Greene County and Beaver Falls over 1,000 brand new coats to children in the area at 13 different distribution points. So I want to give the Lord a hand clap for that, because that's amazing. We have an annual backpack drive. We do the coat backpacks out at the Washington Park. We usually associate with some other churches. You guys have participated in that. We provided complete and full backpacks for over 400 children in the city of Washington this past year. Loads of Love, our laundromat ministry, which we'll be doing this Sunday coming up. We actually commandeered. It reminds me of Philip with the chariot when the Lord said, overtake that chariot. Well, we've overtaken the laundromats. So when we go in there, and again, as I share these things with you, there's a story behind everything that we do. And I think that gives us the richness and the understanding of why what we're doing has come to be. And with that said, we did over 914 loads of laundry last year. That includes drying, so washing and drying, by only doing that four times throughout the year last year. So praise the Lord for that. We have a widows ministry that we actually support. We've been able to help provide for them. We were able to equip them this past year. We paid for a fall foliage trip on the Gateway Clipper. Again, that's completely free to them. That sisterhood is so amazing. And God, as you guys know, has a very special place in his heart for our widows. And therefore, we should too. And to be able to serve them is a tremendous blessing. We started a ministry through Neighbor to Neighbor where we actually go into the local halfway and three-quarter houses, the Washington County Drug and Alcohol Facilities, and they actually, it's called Never Alone. And it's a very unique ministry where we actually have the opportunity to serve people that are in recovery that have come out of jail and meet them right where they're at. This is what this is all about. It's about going to find people. It's about, he said, go and seek them. Go find them. Go get them. Go into the what? The highways and the byways and bring them into my house. So that's what we do. This is so simple. There's nothing significant to it other than the fact of the commitment from some and God's faithfulness to it. This past year, we hosted our largest ever Christmas event. We've been doing that for 5 years. And I remember the first year we did it with Jackie running around, and it was such a good time up at the Harmony Life Center up in Washington. They were kind enough to donate that space to us. But in that short five-year window, we actually got to the point where we needed a gymnasium. Praise the Lord. They kicked us over into the cafeteria, which it kind of worked out a little bit, but it was up to the eyeballs. But again, I hate to do this, but to quantify it, to look back on it, that day within a three-hour window, we had over 250 families come through that place, got everything that they needed. We were able to provide benefits for Christmas, to actual gifts with gift wrapping and all those things that go along with it, for 486 children within a three-hour window using Washington High School. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. They laughed at me. We had the hot meals that we put together that day. And I said, you know what? We're going to make a drive-through. So we actually, outside of the venue that day, and this is surprising to me, again, by your faithfulness and sharing, we put up two tents outside, and we had all these meals out there for people, right? So I come outside. I'm thinking we got 30, 40 guys, people that may have driven through while we were inside doing the actual outreach. So I come out, and I ask the crew. I call them the crew that's out there working the drive through. I said, well, how we doing? I said, we got 30, 40. They said, no, well, we're up over 125. We had 125 people drive through that needed a meal that morning. So again, praise the Lord for all of it. And this past year, we again, quantifying things, if you want to know the scale of it, and this is not an exaggeration, we actually have 25 churches that participate actively throughout southwestern Pennsylvania. So I want to thank the Lord and praise the Lord that the body can be unified and we can do the will of the Father together without getting caught up in this or that. So I want to thank the Lord for that. Beyond that, the Lord gave me a word last year. He reminded me of the parable of the tenants. And I take this very solemnly because, as you guys know, stewardship comes with accountability and responsibility. And going through that, the first thing the Lord ever dealt with me on personally as a heartbeat of some of what we do was my giving, which was very hard to do. And I can go down that road a different time. But once you're able to get your giving under wraps, and you do it with a joyful heart. You know, it's not a requirement per se, but a Christian, we will. We'll be gracious givers. Do it with the right attitude, the right heart. But he said very clearly in my heart, what about your time? It's a great question. What about our time? So I settled it in my heart. I'm going to give my time. So I started looking for ways to minister and ways, things to do. What, Lord, use me. What do I do? Has anybody else ever thought that question? Lord, what can I do? How would it be that you would use me in my life in that way? And with that said, this past year, he shared with my heart, and it was a bit surprising and kind of took me back. but it reminded me of the parable of the talents. When you had the 10, the 5, and the 1, the Lord said that we're going to steward the resources from the 1. So now we have partnered and we have carte blanche with actually almost 30 nonprofit organizations through southwestern Pennsylvania and a complete access to every resource that they have. Our Father has the cattle on 1,000 hills. We have access to it. It's His anyway. And we want to take full advantage of that. And again, with the thankfulness, I wanted to kind of get through that to share with you what you, because you guys are a part of it. You are smack dab right in the middle of it. My grandma's sitting here. Renee and I and Liam are on that van. You guys are such an integral part of this. I owe this time to you. And again, I'm so thankful to be able to do that. With that said, I put in my notes here real quick and as I round up this part of it. So why am I here today? Right? The big question. First off, obviously, was to say thank you. And if this is a little scripted, I apologize, but this is on my heart. I want to get this to you. Second, I want to say we're not done yet. So first off, I wanted to say thank you. And second, I want to say we're just getting going. You know, there is such a great and amazing plan. The word is true. I've seen it. I've experienced it in ways that I hope you have. But it's all different. But we're not done yet. As a body, as a family, we come in here, we gather, we worship, we praise. But as you guys know, the hurting, the lost, and the broken right now are outside of these walls. And we have to go find them. That is the calling. That is the commission. That is the job. Go tell others about me. If you don't know him, let me back this up a little bit. As God has a divine call in your life. I wrote this down. And it starts with a relationship with his son, Jesus. If you don't know him, or it's not what it used to be in your heart, then I implore you to seek him and find a way to serve the king. These things we are able to do go so far beyond a hot meal and a warm coat. It's when you look at that broken child or that addict who has no hope or the older person who has lost that spark in their eyes. And tell them about a God who loves them that sent his son to die for you and to die for me. So I could find you right where you're at and just tell you how much he loves you. I hope you're able to do that. I hope you have been able to do that. He died for you. He wants to fulfill the promise in your life. And he sent us to remind you about this amazing gift, his son Jesus. And as we finish this part of the service this morning, I said, I'll leave you with this today. This is where I'm going to turn into a big crybaby. Do I have permission to turn into a big crybaby? Thank you, brother. And I might not be a sobbing, blubbering mess here, but so hard. But the same woman that prayed for her baby boy sits right here now among you. And I know that she prays that same prayer for you. So what God has done for one, he will do for another. He is no respecter of persons. Amen? So I'm here to speak this morning about the firsthand goodness of our God. He can use anyone and any story to reach a dying, sick, and lost world. And my call to you as my brothers and sisters in Christ is this. Won't you come along? Renee and them will tell you that's always my favorite phrase. Won't you come along? It's the invitation. All neighbor to neighbor is, it's just a vehicle that we can use to serve other people in ways that you and I may not have been otherwise able to do that. If you have a heart, if you have a vision, if God has put something in your heart and mind, we've got to the point now where our job is just to blow wind into your sails. Whether that's through prayer, whether it's through encouragement, whether that's through opportunity. But there is a great big world. And truth be told, if we sit here and we wait for them to walk through those doors, we're going to be sitting here by ourselves for a long time. And we've seen it. We've seen it. It starts right here at home in the places that a lot of people don't want to go, in the places and times a lot of people don't want to go out. So I'm going to ask you this morning, whatever it looks like, it doesn't have to be with neighbor to neighbor. This church does a wonderful job. And I learned something about your church this past year that I didn't know. You guys have this amazingly freakish room downstairs with about 700 puppets in it. It's a grown-up playground in there. I'm just saying, there, that's quite an amazing thing. And Renee, through her faithfulness, has brought those puppets out to the events. We've been able to minister to the kids and stuff. And thank you for having your puppet ministry. That's all I got to say. It's so awesome. See Renee about signing up to help with the puppets. Anyway, about that. We are simply here to present additional opportunities for you to serve. That's all that it is. I tell people, you know, your service, your ministry is between you and the Lord. He has called you for specific things. You are going to minister to people that are in your life, whether it's your home, whether it's your job, whether it's your family. I can't do what you can do, and you can't do what I can do because of the placement that we have. And he has called each of you according to his purpose and according to his will. Your story is amazing. But the Bible says that we are salt and we are light. You know, if the salt becomes rancid and loses its flavor, it gets tossed out and trampled on among the floor. That's what the word says. So in other words, the seasoning of your life, the hard times, the good times, if you're not using that to encourage, love, and give God glory for it, when you die, guess what? It goes with you and it becomes absolutely tasteless. So I encourage you, use your story. Use the things you've been through. You're not done yet. If we're sitting here, take a breath in. Right? Take a breath in. We can still be used to God, and he wants to use you. Last thing I'll leave you with here, check our Facebook page. It's a way that we communicate the things that we're able to do and things that are coming up. You do not need permission to participate if you want to. And this relationship goes both ways. Neighbor to neighbor, if you have a ministry or something that you're involved in, specifically here at the church or in your personal life, and you'd like support, just reach out. That's an open door for everybody inside this room. And I want to leave you with one other piece of this, too. Again, it's very important to note that neighbor to neighbor, again, like I said, it's just a vehicle that we can use together. But beyond that, find a way to serve, whether it is in your home, whether it is in your job, obviously here at your church, inside your family. Anybody have family that needs the Lord? Amen. I think we all do, right? But I just encourage you not just to serve your neighbor, but serve God. And those things will all be added unto you when you delight yourself into him. That's what he says. So that's a little bit about neighbor to neighbor. Renee's going to come back up. And as you mentioned, Pastor Rob's going to do a little Q&A here. I want to encourage you. Ask me any question. The Bible says we're living epistles to be read among all men. And guess what? I'm up today. So I'll be happy to answer any question that you have. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate it. And thank you so much. Really appreciate you sharing that. And just as an encouragement that, and you can be anywhere and serve the Lord. And that's wherever you might be, even if it's at home and you're praying, you can serve the Lord by even through prayer, which I just wanted to pretty much close with, and I promise I'll get this over to you, Rob. But I'm actually going to be going out into the community and praying on the first and third Thursday. So that means that if it's cold out, I am not doing a prayer walk. I am doing a prayer drive. So I'll be in my car driving around. If anybody wants to come with me, I'm going to be actually setting up here. It's probably going to be probably the most central location. I'll be leaving here around 6:30. And then basically I'm just going out for an hour, and I'm going to be hitting the communities that we'll be praying over for the following Saturday. Sometimes I've been actually at the courthouse and praying, whatever God has on my heart for that. But would love for you guys to even, if you can't come out and physically join me, would really love if you could just come alongside of me and just pray for the community. So again, we just want to see what's going to be on God's heart, how he's going to take this whole Washington County, southwestern Pennsylvania, and beyond. But just letting God do what he does best. And just loving on the community, loving on us, and allowing our hearts just to go back to the community through him. So, okay, thanks, guys. Just wanted to make that quick announcement. And, okay, Pastor Rob, back to you.
Thank you, Renee. Jordan Nielsen has agreed to be our microphone runner. And so if you have a question, he's going to bring that to you. Please talk into the mic well. You can ask any question you like. I told Bill before the service started, my desire is more like on a personal level for me personally. I want to kind of probe him on the nuts and bolts of how does somebody go from a pew to a ministry that grows that much. For the purpose of, I know very well that God bless you, that God gives all of us ideas, seed thoughts. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. And so my heart is for this conversation to be an encouragement to you to be able to take those very divine, creative seed thoughts that God gives you and turn them into life, create them. So who wants to start? Does anybody have a question? Oh, please say your name. And, well, if you don't want to be online, don't say your name. If you do, say your name and ask your question.
My name is Justine Nielsen, and I was actually thinking of some questions before I knew we were going to do this. So I guess my biggest question is, and I know the heart of your ministry, and I know your heart, and if there was a specific scripture, whether it's one verse or a chapter or even a book, what is there like a particular scripture that you would say would sum up either your heart, this ministry, or whatever that?
Thank you, Justine. Full disclosure, Justine and Ray are friends of mine. So they've been tied into this. Before I answer that question real quick, if you can imagine doing this, there's been a lot of doors that have been opened up to us in terms of resources and places. So one of our church partners has an amazing kitchen, and we needed a kitchen for our kitchen staff, right? So I'm all excited. I'm in a new place, a new things, a new people, and come walking in, and it's a little bit overwhelming because, again, this is all unscripted. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen, how it's going to work, where it's going to go on, what are we going to be able to use, and how we're going to do it. So we walk into this amazing kitchen, this amazing facility, and come to find out, guess who happens to be the manager of the kitchen department there? My friend Justine is standing there, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. So, again, that is how God ordains and things like that. So, again, your friendship and everything is so important to us as a family. The go-to scripture of it all is if you study your word, and you go back and you remember the old Levitical law and the Mosaic law. There was a lot of rules that they had to follow. And the specific verse that comes to mind, and my friends will tell you, I'm horrible with chapter and verse, but I can tell you the story. But the Lord said specifically, he said, to fulfill the law, or to satisfy the law, you have to do two things. You have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you have to love and serve others as yourself. Because he said, for I have hung all the other laws on these two things. So instead of us trying to maintain and do this and do that and try to live up to an expectation that only the Lord himself could satisfy, the heartbeat behind this is if we concentrate on those two things, then we're going to satisfy every other law that there is. Obviously, we need grace inside of that because I don't know about you, but I have fallen many times. My mouth gets me in trouble. My heart gets me in trouble. My flesh definitely gets me in trouble. I love ice cream sandwiches, by the way. That said, and cookies. So yeah, that's a struggle that's been ongoing. But the truth be told, that is the go-to of what we do. You cannot fail. If you strive in your life to chase those two things, loving God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and loving your neighbor the same way that you would love yourself, you'll satisfy everything else that Jesus has asked you to do. So thank you for the great question. Yes.
Next question. Raise your hand. Jordan will find you. All right, while people are thinking. Are you, by default, as you grew up, even now, are you more of a outgoing person, like a type A personality? Are you a go-getter, very confident person, or are you more like a shy, passive person?
I have never been shy. You haven't figured that out yet. There was a time in my life, though, that shyness or that type A personality or that desire to go interact and interview people came from a place of pride. Unfortunately, in my life, probably like some people, I can't say or speak for anyone else, but I have sadly, like most, used relationship in my life to take advantage of people. it took God himself alone to step in and really help correct that in my heart and change my spirit and my attitude and come to value relationship with people. Sadly, that's a world that we live in. Everybody wants a relationship from a standpoint of what can I get out of this relationship? How's it going to benefit me, whether it's personally or professionally? And the heart that the Lord puts in you, a heart of flesh as the word calls it, will cause you to serve and love others and put that person before yourself. So to take those gifts, again, I like, as the scripture says, as a whole, we're a body. Again, the big toe doesn't serve the same purpose as your ear. So if you're a vocal person, if you use those gifts, it's your gifting. And no matter what it is, we know that the Lord can and will and wants to use that. The thing that's exciting for me, I call it a seat of privilege that I'm able to sit in now, that we're able to see all the different parts of the body work together, whether it's song, whether it's prayer, whether it's coming out and serving, whether it's cooking a meal. You get to see the full unity of the body of Christ. And he said, as his child, you'll see God. And I get to see that move. So with that said, to answer your question in a roundabout kind of way, I've always wanted to hug. You know, I always look, and I still to this day, I try to look for the best in people. I remember even as a little boy, if I didn't know you, we were going to chit-chat, and I'd love you as best I could. And God has taken that gift in me, not to drag that out, but, you know, there's a lot of circumstances, and you talked about getting to know me. I always say your story in your life, it's not a competition. You know, we have all been through things, we're all going through things, and we're all going to go through things. And one story may seem harder or worse than the other one, but the reality is God will use your story right where you're at. And it doesn't have to be sitting here in a pulpit or on a stage. It could be a simple telephone call to someone you haven't thought about in years. You know, it's responding to that tug on your heart when you feel it or when you hear it, and God's dealing with you, and it says, you know what, and that person's been on your mind, and you pick up that phone. That's just as much as a ministry as it is going out to somebody at 2:00 in the morning on a February night. And it's actually, and sometimes it's probably more important to be able to do that. So yes, to answer your question, I'm a go-getter.
Good. Yeah. Like Peter. He was always needing to be heard, and he was a talker. And God used that the same way. All right. Any other questions? All the way in the back, Jordan Tracy.
You had mentioned that you felt that you had went full circle when you returned to Belvedere. How do I want to phrase this? Have you ever encountered anything in this ministry that's just absolutely been extremely difficult? Like you thought maybe, oh no, I can't. I just can't, because I've been there, done that kind of thought process.
Yeah. No, that's a great question. And you can scale that question. It could be something as small as, has anybody ever, the laundromat ministry, great example, right? This may be silly to you. This is a true story. Everything that we do, there's a story behind it, right? So there's a motivation. And so what happened, Tracy, that's a great question. Thank you. And, so laundromat, right? I had gotten saved when I was 20 years old. Lived for the Lord hard for until I was about 26. Met Rebecca and you guys actually, I think, during that time period with Miranda and all them. So we've known each other all for quite a while, right? So coming through that, I started going back to church until I was about 35. When I was 26, I backslid and fell away from the Lord. And about 35, some circumstances happened. I found myself, I always say, out eating with the hogs. And his gentle, still, small voice spoke to my heart again. And I hadn't heard or listened for that voice in a long time. So I started going back to church, and I would go talk to anybody, I would do anything, but when it came to the Bible, I felt inadequate. Has anybody else here ever felt that way? Right? Like, what am I going to say? I've seen these great preachers, guys like you in my life, and people that have shared the ministry, and that have done anointing and that calling. I've learned a lot about that. But truth be told, the laundromat, this is how the laundromat started. This is, I think, going to answer your question. Yes, the laundromat ministry was probably the most hardest thing I've had to face in this ministry. And this is going to sound silly to you, but it's not a question of a physical barrier. It's more of a spiritual barrier. And let me share with you. So friend of mine, anybody know Terry Ardino? Anybody familiar with Terry? Right? Yeah, right? So Terry wanted to befriend me. I started going back to church. It was a whole different cast of characters. So we go to, and Terry asked me out to lunch. Now, Terry's a retired police officer, a good friend of mine, and we're at Applebee's here in Washington. So I'm just getting back into it, right? A little plug for Applebee's. You can send that to my account. Yes, sir. So we're there, and Terry says, let's go have lunch. Right? So no problem. And I'm sitting there with Terry, and I'm not exaggerating, probably within the lunch period where we're getting to know each other, the first time we've ever actually really interacted. So he's talking to like eight or nine people. He gets up from his chair. Now I'm thinking, this is a retired police officer, 30 plus years in Washington County. This guy probably knows everybody in this room, good or bad, right? So he's going around, he's talking to everybody, and he comes back over, and I'm like, oh, yes. So after the ninth time, I finally have to ask him, what are you doing? You know, so he says, oh, he said, well, God put them on my heart, and I asked him if I could pray with them. I was like, oh, man, how's that work? Like I don't hear that. What do we do? How does that work? Seriously. So after that day, I went home, and I felt this tall. Right? So I'm going back to my faith and I'm doing these things. I'm going back to church and I'm reading the word and all these things. So I think I'm doing great. And all of a sudden we're out actually watching a new friend living his faith. Now I thought at first, probably like most people did, unless you know Terry, this guy's just showing off. You know, he's just doing this. And come to find out through years of friendship, that's just who he is. And so I did. I walked away from that lunch that morning and I learned a lot about him, but I learned a lot about me too. I learned a lot about me is like, I'm not like that. Again, ministry, as you know, it's not cookie cutter. The gifts, the courage, the boldness, God will use you how you are. Yes, he wants to free you from things. He wants to do that. He wants to use you. If any, you get anything here more from me today, know that he wants to use you. But Trace, we leave that lunch, right? And I go home and I'm like, Lord, I want to be used like that. And careful what you pray for. So I find myself, I was in between homes, unfortunately. I didn't have a washer and dryer, so I go down to the laundromat down by Lowry's in the plaza down there, right? So I walk in there, and there's this little gentleman, again, just for the sake of the story, a little black guy's walking around, and it's just me and him in there. Now, I've been going down this laundromat for quite a while now, so I thought I was Mr. Big and Bold Witness, because I'd take my Bible with me. Right? And I'd put it on the table and I'd make sure everybody in there saw me playing, reading my Bible. You know, here I am, big burly bearded guy reading his Bible. That's going to testify, right? So anyway, I'm inside there and all of a sudden this little fellow walks in. It's just me and him in there. And I felt something. I'm like, oh no. Oh, wait, the Lord's dealing with me. And I say this is my Jacob moment. Where I'm wrestling, I'm hiding, and God's telling me everything. It could not have been more crystal clear. It could not have been more easy, but he's telling me, go pray with that man. Go talk. And that's all I'm hearing. Go talk to that man. Go pray with this man. So I'm like, ain't gonna, anybody else ever gone through that? Anywhere you can find yourself, that can happen to you, I assure you. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is a true story. I went back and I hid by the pop machine, Trace. I went back and I'm back in this corner. I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to, I can't do this. And that's where I've learned. I can't, right? I can't. So we're going through it. And again, we're wrestling, we're tussling. I call it the Holy Spirit hurricane. I mean, I'm getting twisted and torqued and turned inside. And so finally, an hour and a half later, I'm done with my laundry. He's still there doing his stuff. So I'm folded up. I'm ready to head out the door. I went over. And this little fella, now, he had come face to face with me probably like two or three times at this point. It could have been so easy, right? So I come running over out the door, and there he is. He comes over, Trace. He opens up the door for me to go outside to the car. And I just put my head down. Just doo, 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 doo. So now I've left the room. And I'm sitting out in my car, right? And I'm like, I know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm like, Lord, I said, you know what? If I'm supposed to do what you're telling me, right? Now I'm negotiating, right? Like we do. Lord, if you do this, then I'll do this, right? I asked him, I said, Lord, I said, you're going to have to bring up this man to the window of this car for me to do that. The car's running, Pastor Rob. I got the foot on the gas. I'm ready to go. Don't you know, I watched that man walk out of that room. Couldn't get in the driver's side of his door, come back around. Now he is standing face to face with me in the window of my car. So there's me, the big blubbering baby. I start crying again. And it was, I call it the roll down of shame. I put the window down like, and I look at him. He's literally staring there looking in my window. And I'm now here's me. I'm so sorry. I look at him. I said, I need to apologize to you. And he's smiling, just so gracious. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, God has been dealing with me from the moment you walked in this room. I was supposed to just tell you how much he loves you. And that little fella broke right down right there in the parking lot. We got to talk and pray and those things. And to answer your question in a nutshell, that's why we go to the laundromat now. Story. But the truth is, Trace, the hardest thing that I've learned through all this is being obedient when the Spirit calls you to do it. That is the hardest thing. Everything else is secondary. Yeah, there's some mornings we don't feel like getting up and going to do this or going to do that. The Bible says put your hand firmly to the plow. And that's what gets me through that. But to be honest with you, and I think that applies to everything that we do in your life, when the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart, and I know I'm not alone in this, it's not easy to respond every time. But I have learned about the blessing and the goodness, not just for me on the other side of the response, but for the person that God really wants ministered to. And that's the why. So thank you, Trace, for a great question. Yeah, I hope I answered that right.
Good.
For you.
Somebody else. I was able to be a part with many people, as you know, from our church family for the last Christmas event. And it was at Wash High. And I don't know what I was expecting. But when I walked in there, I was blown away by the size and the magnitude of people there, the line to get in that people stood in, the cold weather, the care and the thoughtfulness of the detail, even for the people outside, the amount of people that were ministering, the way it was set up inside, just a nice flow. And so I was there, I think I was there for about 2 hours. I didn't get there when I wanted to because I had to do a funeral. But I did not see you once. And the reason I'm bringing that up is here you are, you're the head of the ministry, and it is so effectively delegated, and there are so many other people involved. I never saw you once. And that just so speaks to your heart of humility and your ability that God has given you to lead and delegate. And I was humbled by the event. I really was. It was beautiful. You would walk in, there was a stocking stuffing station first. Did I say that wrong? Stocking stuffing station.
Use your word.
Yeah. You got when you walked in, they assigned you somebody who would walk you through so that they could help you, you know, navigate. And that was actually my job. They were calling us. What were they calling us? That was a little weird. Escorts. Yeah. Yeah. I was an escort. But anyway, you would take them to this stocking stuffer station. Then there was a wrapping station if they wanted wrapped. And then there was a hygiene section and then a clothing section and then a shoe section. Then the coat section. And then the gitchki section, that's my mom's word for whatever, food section. And then, then they had people assigned to run all their stuff to the cars and help them. I know Anthony, he went like all the way down to the Bronson house, didn't he? He helped somebody all the way down the Bronson. Anyway.
In the rain.
Yeah, in the rain. But it was just a well-oiled machine. So kudos.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with that. We put out the call. And fortunately, we've had folks that have committed themselves to serving. Again, in that capacity, the donations and stuff started pouring in, literally. And I, part of the vision that we had was I saw that was going to happen. And I didn't know how or why. And the truth be told, so much happened inside of that event, I will never have complete understanding of what exactly happened. But we talked about being in unison, being one mind, one accord. The idea behind that, and again, this isn't shooting down the rabbit hole trying to pick anybody out, but if you've been in ministry, obviously in the church body, there's always a remnant. And what I'm seeing happen with neighbor to neighbor, you know, the folks that come early, the ones that stay late, the ones that clean up, the ones that put the things together, these people have gathered under that umbrella. And so it's easy to do because these people, yourselves included, you're in this conversation, this body, want to serve in such a way. So when God ordains it and organizes it, I don't have to do anything. You know, it's other than get the call out and make sure that the people that know to come. Again, these are the way I best describe this. Anything that neighbor to neighbor does, there's actually 9 ministries inside of what we do. But anything that we do is simply just another glass of water so that you can tell somebody about the goodness and the love of Jesus. That's all that it is. So what I encourage people to do in empower and equip as compared to depending on me or anyone else in the ministry, this is you. This is your opportunity to serve somebody, again, collectively and corporately as a body, but you might be able to come serve in a capacity you've always wanted to do and you just didn't know how to do it. That's what happened to me. And unfortunately, I guess I should say fortunately, I get to witness it again from a very unique seat. And so thank you for recognizing that. Again, we give all glory to God and thank him for everything that happened that day.
Yeah, we will never ever have an excuse that we didn't have a place to minister or to serve. We'll never have the opportunity. Story you probably don't know, and I know my church family doesn't, but there was one of my children's friends who had to do some community service. And that was an opportunity for them to get some hours in. So it turned out, because of our schedules, everybody that this individual knew had to leave. And I figured they would just say, okay, well, I'm leaving too. But they didn't. They wanted to stay till it was over because they were being so encouraged of being a part of giving their life out to other people. And it really touched them. Yeah. All right. Any other questions?
Since nobody raised their hand again, it's Justine Nielsen again. Not really a question. Not really a question, but lots of just testimony to this ministry, to Bill, too. It's incredible. So one of the things that always strikes me, and I love, like, Bill is a servant leader. Like, and that's what we're supposed to do, but everybody leads differently. Bill is like the servant of servants. Just like, we get there. I know, don't shake your head no. But we get there whenever we are able to be part of this these ministries and different outreaches that he does in different communities. And like Renee and Eileen, they can attest to this probably better than I can. They go to everything and we just kind of show up sometimes. But he's like, hey guys, you're here. What can I do for you? I mean, like, what do you need? And I'm like, we're here for you. And he's like, I'm here for you. And that's what he does. He's here for the community, but not just the community, the people helping. He's like, what do you need? What can I do for you? Oh, I thought you might need some extension cables. I brought him like, oh, well, it was like, he just tries to think of everything he can that he's able to do. He's going to do it. And I love that. And that's what's driving this. And also something that I've loved is just the connections to different people that we've met, and I just mean heart connections. And like this summer in particular, this was so a God thing. I am a major at coach for Wash High. And I went to Seventh Ward Playground because I'd have the girls come there over the summer to practice. And Life Church in Washington was there rebuilding the playground. And I was like, oh, we're supposed to be practicing here. And they're doing construction. So I walked up to somebody and I'm like, is there an adult we can speak to? I just need to find out if we can practice somewhere around here. And this woman comes over to me, and I thought she was a kid, but she came over to me and she's like, can I help you? I'm so-and-so. And I still, that meant nothing to me. I'm like, oh, sure. Like, I'm the majorette coach. Can we practice like over there in the grass or something? And so she took me over to a pastor, and he was like, sure, that's why we're here. We're here for you, blah, blah, blah. So it turns out that I found out from somebody that this woman is a teacher at my kid's school. And then, whatever. Okay, so I met her. That's cool. She's a Christian. She's a teacher at their school. We go to the outreach ministry not too long after that, and I see her there. And I was like, oh. So I go over to her. Like, I didn't go over to her, actually. It was a whole bathroom thing. I keep running into this woman, so I have to remember what time was what. So I had to go to the bathroom, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm, there's like this little community center. It's just little. There's like one little bathroom, and I'm just waiting, and we're supposed to be leading worship like already, and I'm waiting for the bathroom. And she comes out, and I was like, oh, well, we're going to talk, and I'll be out when I get out. And then I found out that she knows who my kids are. And so we talked a little, and then after worship, like, she came and found me, and she just started pouring her heart out and crying. And so we've connected over Facebook, and we stay in touch. And then now Elena, she got invited by a teacher in her basically study hall class to go and help with, Toys for Tots, to go shopping and help pick out toys and buy and wrap and do all of this. And I'm like, that's so exciting. And she's telling me the teacher's name. I don't know this girl's last name still. I couldn't remember on Facebook. She, you know how teachers, they don't put their last name a lot of times. And I was like, I wonder. I was like, what does she look like? And I pulled up her picture and I said, is this her? She said, yeah, that's her. So then I messaged her again and I'm like, did you know? She said, yeah, I know that's your daughter. And she wanted to just bless her and let her be part of that. And like, so it's just cool how it's all tied together. That's not only one, but it's happened over and over again with people that we keep meeting through and within this ministry. And it's just incredible. The Lord just will continue to tie people together and use us as a greater body.
So again, my heart for the Q&A was just to, again, give you just kind of an encouragement to see the heart behind the ministry again, or more, just to encourage us. All of us are the church. All of us, God has equipped for something. And I just wanted to hopefully have a spark given to you that those things that God gives you that are ideas that you think, oh, why aren't we doing that in this city? Or why aren't we doing that in our church? Or why aren't I doing this at work? Or whatever. Those are all God's light to you and leading to bring creation, for you to bring creation to that area and sphere. One other example of his heart, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the Valentine's thing, 3 years ago, they just wanted to bless some of the pastors and the leaders in the city, and they put on this huge dinner at, was it the Meadowlands? I don't know. Double Tree at Racetrack Road. Just invited us. Jackie and I got to go, and we saw a bunch of people that we knew, a bunch of people from the city. How many people were there? 44 couples there that they invited to dinner, had a wonderful dinner, wonderful time. Ray and Justine were there, and they led worship and then ministered. And but they did that all for everybody and flipped the bill, and it was a beautiful night. And so, again, just an idea that he said, hey, let's bless people in our city, and they ran with it. And it was a wonderful night. Thank you for that.
Can I share one thing?
Absolutely.
I know for the sake of time, again, this has been an amazing privilege for me, and I want to tell you about the goodness of God. The little revelation I had earlier today, I hope you all, and I know that you do, have those moments in time where you hear from the Lord in a way or in a shape or in an unimaginable way that you just can't deny him. And I hope that you hold on to those and you look forward to those, because those days are going to continue to come. And today for me is actually one of those days. Through praise and worship, it was a reminder. I've been, again, I'm just sharing my heart with you. I've been really seeking the Lord, not for any other reason other than the fact I just want to be closer to him. You know, and I think that's really what he wants. You know, then he knows he can mold you and he can use you, and he has these amazing plans for you. But the way that he will remind you how much he loves you, and this is a plan, like the Psalms were saying, this is a complete plan. So we're sitting there worshiping and praising, and I'm you know, Spirit's working on my heart, dealing with me. And for those of you that don't know, and again, this isn't accusatory. This doesn't mean that I wasn't loved. It doesn't mean that my family is imperfect. Anybody here have a perfect family? Yeah, I knew you were. Raise your hand. Ray, you have family? I thought you were dropped off by aliens or something. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That's what you call them. You have a beautiful family, by the way. Oh, you sidetracked me. Now, beyond that, you know, with the family and stuff, by the time I was in first grade, I had been in 6 different elementary schools. And again, there's no reason behind it. And this isn't about the whys. It's just about what was. And we settled in Belvedere Acres, you know, and that's where we came back out of. Tracy, I went to the Head Start program. I'm a proud graduate of the Head Start program. Amen. And I believe and love what you guys do, and I can't imagine how hard it is. With that said, coming through, growing up a little bit, if you don't mind me saying so, I say this humbly, I actually was skinny and had a whole head of hair. Aim, sorry, this is what you got stuck with, just letting you know. But I was, my grandmother will tell you I was a good looking boy, and she compares me to you, actually, but I don't know how that happened. Anyway, she does too, trust me. I hear all about it. It's weird. Anyway, so, but I was blessed. I was a good football player. I wasn't as much as involved in academics, but athletics opened up a lot of doors for me, and it got me a lot of attention, from big colleges and universities and things like that. And I'm going to get raw here for 1 second before we close out, if you don't mind. In 2015, July 7th, I was a young boy, I'd say 15 years old, you know, and my friends and I, we like going to the dance clubs and the party and all this stuff. Now remember, we're growing up in basically in a life of poverty. Again, it's not about whose fault, how it happened, why it happened or anything. That's just where we were at. And the truth of the matter is, we had gotten kicked out of our home. Due to an incident where we lived at the apartment. So we end up living in this little shack over in the West End in Washington here. And I'd come home late that night. It was July 7th, 1991. And I'd come home that night, got into an argument with my mom. It was about 11:30. I was supposed to be home at 11 o'clock. And just was woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning by my mom. And a man had walked past our house and watched her getting ready for bed. He'd broken into our home, and he beat and raped my mom within a moment of her life. She refused to scream and asked for help because she was afraid that her sons would wake up. That day shattered our world. All these things were going on, the athletics and all the stuff that happened. So I found myself 20 years old. Good-looking kid, the world would think that I had it all together. But I didn't. All the weight of all the things that had happened in my life that were not my fault, they're not your fault, whether I knew it or not, I was carrying it around. And it started to weigh on me. And I'd went to college, and I started drinking and the partying and all that stuff, and I'm trying to escape the things that I that were behind me. Again, that they weren't necessarily my fault, but that was life. And I started having anxiety about it and fear, and I ended up moving back in with my grandma. I'd come home drunk. And she knew a drunk. She'd smell it. She'd tell me, don't lie to me. So I went on a little outing with some friends and some things that happened. And this was the beginning of January in 1996, 95 or 96, I think. And, you know, for me, watching her go to church on Sunday morning didn't mean nothing to me other than the fact that I couldn't use the car till she got home. That's the truth. That's the truth. So I'd watched her be faithful in her faith, even though I didn't know what it was. So, a couple weeks into that winter, I basically had a breakdown. Many people didn't know it, didn't understand it, would have never thought it. But the reality was I found myself sitting at 4 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a snowstorm, wondering how I could escape not just the pain that maybe was inflicted on me by other people, but I was starting to feel guilt about the things that I had done. I shared with you earlier that I used people. I used them for my benefit, for whatever it was. And that weight started crushing me. And it was an unseen crush, something that you couldn't see. So I remember it was like you and I talking, Pastor Rob. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. There was an evangelist on TV. I'm not even sure which one it was. And I'm having every panicky fear, every humiliation and shame and all this stuff just stirring over top of me. And I remember the guy said on TV as clearly as possible, he just said, God loves you. So I don't know if you'll remember this day, but I remember getting home that morning. That was a Saturday night. So I come home at Sunday morning, and I had been watching her now for quite a while get up and go to church. And that morning, I think I got up before she did. I was dressed. I was ready to go. And this is how I remember it. I don't know if it's exactly how it was. But I remember we had one bathroom in the house, and I didn't have a door in my room. And she was going into the bathroom to get ready for church. And I'm pretty sure I was already sitting on the bed ready to go. I didn't know what that meant, that God loved me. But I just know that I needed to go to church. I didn't even know why. And I'm sitting there, and it's almost like a movie, you know, where you walk past, and I'm sitting on the bed, and she may not remember that or not, but I just remember her walking by and almost did a double take, like real graceful, walked by and went, and just kept on going, right? Like, oh. So I got up with her that morning, we went to church, and truth be told, from the moment we hit the driveway, I started to weep. 20 years old, crying. And we walked into church, and Tracy, if I'm not mistaken, I think you were leading worship that morning. There's a good chance of that, because there's a very good chance of that. So when I walked in here today, and Tracy's leading worship, right? And this lady right here, she goes, oh, you're sitting in my row. I said, oh. True? The Lord brought it to my remembrance when we're worshiping that today, this specific morning, 25 years ago, I dedicated my heart to Jesus. With you leading worship, you bring me to church. His word is faithful and it is true. And the heartbeat behind what we do, it's not that we can earn our way in. It's not that we can buy our way in. It's not that we can sing our way in. Not that we can praise our way in. It is done by His grace and His grace alone. But there is a reasonable service that is due from each of us. We do things not because we have to. We do things because we want to. And I can assure you, God will take whatever that vision is that you have in your heart and your mind. If you're obedient on the other side of it, it's going to turn into something, even if it's just for the one person, it's going to turn into something that you could never, ever have imagined on your own. And I see it just like today. Amy's story and I, boy, I'd love to tell you that story. But today I'm telling you ours. And it has gone full circle. Every step of the way. So when you ask for the Lord to be in it, and you really seek Him and you settle in your heart all those things that you didn't think that you could do, He said, you're going to do things greater. How does that work? How does that happen? It's because He said it. So know my heart today, and I mean this, and you guys are more special to me than you ever know. I can't relate it to enough. And the fact that I get to share this day in my history, in my walk for His glory, I get to share that with you, puts you in a place that I could have never have imagined. So thank you. Thank you to allow me to continue the testimony of my life. And I want to be here with you as you continue the testimony of yours. Because we're not done yet. And Renee, what do we say? Come along. I love you guys. And that comes from a place of humility. And it could only, if you know me then and you know me now, it could only come again by the grace of God. So thank you so much for being a friend and a family. And I look forward to eternity with you, because that's where we're going. Amen? Amen.
All right. So now you got me blubbering. Thank you. Would you stretch your hand this way? We're going to just thank God for our brother, his wife Amy, and this ministry. And Father, you are so faithful. Lord Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You said you were going to build your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We thank you that we're a part of this wonderful ecclesia that you're creating. And by your faithfulness and your strength and your wisdom and your foreknowledge, thank you for the privilege that we have to just be your hands and feet in this city and in this community and beyond. Thank you so much for what you've raised up in Neighbor to Neighbor. Thank you for how you are bringing the church together to truly be the church. They will know you by the way you love one another. And so thank you for that, Lord. And we just thank you that as we move forward, that whatever you have in store for us, we're in agreement with. We thank you for giving us dreams and words and visions and guidance and wisdom on how to walk that out. We thank you for letting every part of the body supply to give edification to the body and so others can come to know you like we do. What a privilege. And so we just commit and commend ourselves to your grace and to your purpose, knowing that you who started this good work in it, you'll also complete it. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Make sure you come give some loving to our brother and sister.